This is Library Lines, the voice of your Sussex County library system. My name is Regina Bone, and I'm here along with my co-host,
Jerry Galante.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Regina.
How you doing?
Good. It's been a minute. We were just talking about that.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that. How's your summer been?
Hot. Oh, up until recently, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But a couple weeks ago, it started to get a little hot. But busy. Summer reading was busy.
Big success.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. And now I'm looking forward to coolness, leaves changing, pumpkin pie, stuff like that.
Sweater weather. Yes, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Right,
and September's library card sign-up month.
That's right. Don't forget, believe we're having some kind of incentive going on in the library for
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, it involves your original yellow Sussex County library card. So if you have a yellow one, definitely head to your library and take something out with it.
Yes, do not throw that out.
Oh, no, definitely not throw it out. It'll be your golden ticket to prizes, let's say.
Literally.
So check our website. There's a lot more details on there, and you can definitely read up on that.
And that's for the entire month of September.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
But today, we have an interview.
Yes.
With our local history librarian, Tara Schauberg.
Wonderful.
So let's get to that.
Let's get to it.
All right, so Regina, you and I, not from Sussex County originally. So what do we think about local Sussex County history? What's your history with Sussex County, let's say?
Well, not very much.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up in a neighboring county, and my only experience with Sussex County was the Vernon area, you know,
mm-hmm.
Action Park growing up, and, you know, believe it or not, the Playboy Club.
Right.
Now, it doesn't sound like it is. I remember going up there for Sunday brunches years ago.
Right.
With my entire family.
Okay.
And so that's the area.
Princess breakfast, that kind of thing?
Yeah. The bunny.
Bunny breakfast?
Yeah. No, there were no bunnies. There were no bunnies.
Right.
Not
gotcha.
At 9 o'clock on
gotcha.
Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
But I just remember walking into that building and they had the water coming down the wall, the rock wall.
Classy.
Were you ever there?
No.
And the smell of the water, like chlorine. That's, I'll never forget. It was very dark.
I work in Vernon. I don't even know where that was. Is it still, it's not, oh wait, I think it is
oh,
still
that,
there, right?
I believe that building is still there.
The building
there.
Is still there.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have any idea where that is.
Obviously, yes.
I know the Action Park is now Mountain Creek, and
right.
You know, we're right down
yeah, it's
the block
not
from
far.
Them.
It's not
yeah,
far.
I honestly don't know where the Playboy Club was. I know...
Yeah.
The people that I work with are very familiar with it, because a lot of them live in the area, but
mm-hmm.
I was not...
Mm-hmm. But the part of Sussex County I'm working in, which is the southern part, I was very unfamiliar with
mm-hmm.
coming in. So I'm sure for you, too, because you were out of state, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really know anything about it other than Action Park was the only thing I'd ever heard
of. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And did you visit Action Park?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'd never gone.
Okay.
I think we talked about this
we
on
did,
the,
in our Action
the
Park
Andy
episode.
Interview.
Yeah.
But no, I had never gone. But yeah, no, I was wholly unfamiliar with the fact that Sussex County even existed. Before I moved to the area.
Was it a bit of a shock for you?
That the county existed?
No,
it was
county,
not an Atlantis-type
no,
situation.
No, no,
no.
The county, how rural it was, you coming from a more
sort of,
urban area.
When I was a kid, and really into my 20s, I guess, my family had a house up in Kingston, New York,
mm-hmm.
so Catskills area.
Okay.
So I was familiar with like that type of environment. It was a weekend summer thing for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it wasn't like we lived it, but that sort of made me want to live in that type of an environment at some point. So, you know, we looked for that area to live in, but it turned out that we wound up in New Jersey instead, but in a similar type of geographic type, you know,
okay.
location, basically.
Very good. And how long did it take you once you started working here to get used to going from branch to branch and finding your way around?
I still have trouble sometimes with certain things.
I do too.
The best is when someone asks where something is, and then everybody's like, it's where whatever used to be, and it's down by the old whatever, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't know. I start naming streets, and they're like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Where is it? Because also, by me, you can get on 15 North, 94 South.
Yes.
Which makes no sense
yes.
whatsoever.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, there's a lot of weirdness like
yeah.
that. One of the other weird things to me is that streets have numbers and not names,
mm.
which I was always used to just named roads, not...
Right. Right. There's always a surprise ahead when traveling through Sussex County.
Yes.
I'd be like,
yeah.
oh, this is where this road leads me. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely found that a couple times. Or I've thought, like, I can go this way,
mm-hmm.
and then that takes me a completely different way. Because there's no, a lot, there's no connecting streets half the time. So you go one way, you're that way for 6 miles, you know? So, anyway, I think we've ignored Tara enough. I know.
Well, what we're trying to say is it's a very rich county and has a very rich local history to it. A lot of it was new to me. So I don't know if many of our listeners know, we do have a local history librarian and department, and it's located up at the main library.
Right.
So, Tara, welcome. First of all, Tara, how long have you been with the Sussex County Library System?
About a year now.
Okay.
Wow. Has it only been a year?
It's only been a year.
Wow. Okay. I would have thought it was longer than that.
Well, you've done a lot of good things in a year.
About a year and 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. So give us just a brief overview of the local history department. Maybe what you saw when you came in and where it is like right now.
Yeah. The local history department is a collection of books, newspapers, online databases, genealogy collections, even some clippings files that all focus on specifically the history of Sussex County and surrounding areas.
Okay.
Cool. We were speaking about how we are not Sussex County natives. Are you a Sussex County native?
Almost, but not quite.
All right.
So I grew up in Warren County, northern Warren County, about 20 minutes south of Newton. So I'm pretty familiar with Sussex County. I actually went to high school in Sussex County. So all my high school friends, you know, lived all over Sussex County. And I'm pretty familiar with the area.
Gotcha.
My husband is from Sussex County.
Okay.
And his family actually goes back generations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his mom's side of the family.
Hmm. Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
You guys sort of have your own local history.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I was not aware of this.
Yeah, very cool.
All right.
Yeah. So what was your impression of Sussex County before this job? And what would you say was the most surprising thing you've learned about the county since being in this position?
Yeah, like I said, I was fairly familiar with the county. When I thought of Sussex County, I kind of thought of people and nature together.
I've read that somewhere.
Yeah.
A signpost or something.
But something that I've noticed since I started working in this position and started researching more for people and came across just references and books was really cool geology here. I had known about the mines in Franklin and in Ogdensburg.
Right.
You know, I went to Franklin on a field trip in elementary school. And,
oh, cool.
You know, a couple of years ago, I ran a 5K that went through the Sterling
mine.
But I hadn't always thought about it in terms of the history. And, you know, I didn't even know that Thomas Edison was really involved in mining in Sussex County.
What was he mining for?
Iron.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
In addition to that, there are a lot of really interesting cave networks, especially around Newton area, and Lenape rock shelters from, you know, eroded rocks and interesting rock formations. So that's something that's really piqued my interest.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I just find it weird. This just jogged my memory when you're talking about. What is it? Nature and people together or something?
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Motto,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I pass that sign, obviously, when I drive into the county. And I pass, like, I believe two, like, lime kilns right on the road, which is bizarre to me. But that's one of those, like, local history things that's just there, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't really think about.
So what made you go to library school?
When I was in college, I was anticipating that I would probably go to school for journalism or editing. I think I switched to editing after working on the school paper for a bit and being a copy editor, really feeling like that was better for me than writing articles. And I ended up majoring in English, thinking, yeah, there's a lot of things I can do with English.
Sure.
And as I went through undergrad, I just had that in my mind, someday I'll probably be an editor. And I was always working in a library. My first job in high school was as a student assistant at my local library. I worked at the university library in their interlibrary loan department. Mm. And I spent a lot of time in the library. So when I was doing some research for one of my classes, I was taking a class on archaeology of ancient Israel. And
wow.
I was an English major, and there was an open-ended kind of end-of-the-semester project for us to work on, and I chose to do something related to literature, as much literature as you can do with ancient archaeology.
Sure.
So my topic was these tablets from the area Mari, and they were written in this ancient Akkadian language, and
wow.
I was trying to find anything that I could, you know, aside from the paragraph in my textbook,
right.
about these tablets, and, you know, what those tablets can tell, you know, people nowadays researching that region. And, of course, I went to the university library and typed in Mari tablets, and there was actually a book in the library
wow.
with the actual Akkadian language and a translation into French. And that blew my mind.
That's
that
crazy.
I was able to find
yeah,
that there.
Yeah, wow.
And then it was amazing, but it didn't really help with my paper. So I went to the reference
right.
librarians, and they were able to find me secondary sources that I was able to use for the paper. And that was so cool to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, all of that info was available right there at the library. And that's kind of what made me think, this is a really cool place to be.
Mm.
All this access to information. And that's when I decided, you know what? It seems to be in the cards for me. I really, really like libraries, and I think this is where I want to go. So that's when I started looking up library schools.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have known, like, that Akkadian way back when
exactly.
was, like, hammering out that, what was it, like, cuneiform? I don't even know. But, like, you know, hammering that out, and then, you know, that would influence somebody, what, 5,000, 6,000 years later, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have that time period
yeah.
wrong. But, wow.
So it sounds like you like to do research in a very granular level,
mm-hmm.
which I would think would make this job as a local history person perfect for you.
I think so.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of, I think, patience.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. There's a lot of patience.
Oh,
there's a lot of taking one little piece of information
mm-hmm.
and then using it down the line when you can connect it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I think so.
I think you should write a micro-history about something. Whatever it is. Because there's that book that just came out. It's like 10 tomatoes that changed the world or something. And I wanted to buy it, but somebody at another branch did, so I didn't have to. That just seems like something that would be up your alley. Just like when you get something in your head,
yeah.
that's what you're going to do, you know? So how did you wind up at Sussex County Library?
I started at Warren County. So that was the first place I ever had a library job. And I was able to get a full-time job there while I was going to library school.
Oh.
So as soon as I got my library science degree, I was able to move into a reference position because there were some vacancies and the stars aligned, and I was able to get into a reference librarian position in Warren County. And I kind of mentored under the local history librarian there.
Okay.
So, you know, I was kind of right into local history right off the start. It was a real interest for me. And I was at Warren County for a number of years. I was a reference librarian there for about 8 years.
Mm.
And during that time, the school that I went to get my graduate degree in library science in, they began offering an archive specialization.
Okay.
So I was able to go back and get an archive specialization because I knew that that was something that I really, really enjoyed.
Mm.
And after that, I moved on to the North Jersey History and Genealogy Center in the Morristown Library as assistant archivist.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So I worked there for 3 years and left. Now, this is kind of an interesting situation. My husband and I had been planning on going on a really big road trip to see the whole country, and we were going to take a year and possibly not settle back in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So we left in 2019, fall of 2019, mm-hmm. on this trip.
That's a rough time to have left.
Yeah, well, we didn't know.
Nobody
did
knew.
Not know.
Yeah, nobody knew.
So, yeah, we got to California. We traveled across the whole southern half of the country.
Cool.
Got to see some really amazing places. I highly recommend Big Bend National Park.
Mm. That's the one in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, there a lot of really great places we got to see. And we were about to enter Death Valley National Park in California when all of the public campgrounds closed. So we've made the decision not to head into Death Valley knowing that there was no campgrounds.
Yeah.
And at that point, everything was closing. So we just kind of booked it back to New Jersey, you know, all the way back across the country, stayed with family. We ended up buying a house a couple months later because we had no idea how long that was going to take.
Yeah.
And the following year, things were still not really open. I was looking into, you know, volunteering with local historical societies, and the Sussex County Library. We bought a house in Sussex County.
Oh wow!
So then, Sussex County Library posted a position for the local history and genealogy librarian, and I thought, you know what, that sounds perfect for me.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm here.
Wow.
That is some story.
Yeah.
So you never made it out all the way to the what? You never saw the Pacific Ocean?
We did.
Okay.
We did. We went out all the way to the Pacific, and then we kind of we went back.
Okay.
We were actually running away from the cold weather, because the camper wasn't quite four season, and so water lines would freeze if if it got too cold. So we're just kind of going wherever we could.
Wow.
So
that's really cool.
That's so neat.
I've always wanted to do that. Like, I had a friend in high school who did the same thing, just drove across country. I was just like, I don't know, the open road, you know,
it just calls me sometimes. And I think it's the best. Yeah. I've never done it, but I think it's the best way to see anything is by car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of road trips, but never a consistent coast to coast road trip.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that definitely interests me.
Something to do in our retirement, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I get there. Right? Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Tara. So why local history? I know you started with it in other places, and now you're here specializing in it. Do you just love it?
I do. Oh, yeah? I do. I mean, I started out as a kid who loved historical fiction. So I ate up those American Girl books. Mm-hmm. I loved Little House on the Prairie. I remember after I finished all of the Little House on the Prairie books, I found a biography of Laura Ingalls Wilder at my local library, and there's a picture of her in the back, a portrait, and I remember staring at that pixelated photo, thinking like, wow, this is actually her. And I felt a connection. You know, even though she was dressed in such old-fashioned clothing, I was able to make a connection with her. And
you love history.
I do. Yeah. I do. Like, when I read those American Girl books, I remember I couldn't decide which time period I wanted to live in. You know, like, do I want to be like Kirsten and be a pioneer? Or do I want to be like Samantha wearing all those pretty dresses in the Victorian period? And, you know, I kind of consoled myself with the fact that, like, well, being in the present, I can go back and read books about all the time periods.
That's true.
So,
plus, you know, bathrooms and showers. Always
exactly.
Helpful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Modern conveniences.
Women being able to vote.
Yeah. That's a big one, too. Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. It's also local history to me is like sort of the purest form, you know, because like you really, like when you learn history in school, it's usually like, these are the kings and queens of England. You know what I mean? It's like, you seem so detached. But when it's local history, it's like, that building I'm standing across the street from is, you know, and that's so interesting.
Yeah. Right outside our door.
Yeah.
It's really immersive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, history is everywhere. It's just that you haven't been taught it or looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I find that really fascinating.
Me too.
Cool. So what's your favorite thing about working in the library?
There's a lot of things that I like about libraries. If I had to identify one thing, for me, I think it's a sense of discovery. Whether it's finding a book on the shelf, like me finding that autobiography of Laura Ingalls Wilder as a kid, or helping a patron find their great-grandmother when I'm helping them with genealogy research, or finding answers to reference questions. There's always a sense of excitement for me, which, I mean, that's why I'm in this job.
Yeah.
Because I find it exciting.
Yeah, but it's like the lifetime learning thing. You know, there's always something to discover, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the most popular questions that you're asked?
definitely genealogy related, whether it's, you know, I'm looking up some information on my great-grandmother. I know her married name, but I don't know her maiden name, and so I don't know, you know, how to trace her back. Questions about where somebody was buried, genealogy lookups, like can you look up an obituary for me?
Mm-hmm.
People ask often about the history of their house. Sometimes, you know, specific things about the histories of towns.
Getting back to obituaries, is how easy or difficult is that?
We have an obituary index for the Sussex Register, and it covers a specific time period. So if your person falls into that time period, it's really easy.
Yeah.
If not, then it could be very hit or miss. The newspapers themselves did not always print very long or informative notices. Sometimes it's just the person's name and the date of death and where they lived. Sometimes you might get a write-up with more information about them, and that changed over time. It also varied between papers. We've got a number of papers in our collection. They cover different time periods, but Sussex Independent, Sussex Recorder, Wantage Recorder, New Jersey Herald. So it's not always difficult, but sometimes it's time-consuming to go through, you know, all the different options that there are.
You also mentioned researching the history of a house or a property.
Mm-hmm.
What are the resources? What's the resource for that?
There's actually a lot that goes into it. So that's one thing about local history, is there are pieces of information from different sources that you have to put together. So one of the best things to start with is deeds from the Sussex County Clerk's Office. A lot of those are available online. So from the present, going back to 1950, you can search online on the Sussex County Clerk's website. And sometimes from those deeds that are available, they may even have some language in them that gives you information about who lived there first. So if a large piece of property had been subdivided, your deed from 1962 may say, being a parcel of the property originally transferred from Mike Smith to Bob Jones in 1890 or something like that. So you can get a lot of information from those deeds. To go back further than 1950, you'd have to go to the Sussex County Clerk's office. Those are available for in-person research.
Okay.
And once you have the names of people who lived in the house, then you can come back to the library and use some of our genealogy resources to look up those people, find out what they did. So if you were to find somebody's name, you can look them up in Ancestry.com or HeritageQuest.com and find out what they did. If they were a farmer, if they worked in a shoe factory, where they live. Well, we already know where they live because we know. Yeah. You know, who the members of their family were. You can also go about things a little differently, and you know, if you want to start in 1860, if you know your house is really old, you can find out who lived there in 1860 by looking at the Hopkins map. That is something that we have copies of here at the library, and there are high-resolution online versions available from the Library of Congress, Princeton University, so there are resources available to you just from home if you wanted to do some research. And those are all things that help tell the story of your house. Our local history and genealogy collection includes vertical files, which are folders full of pamphlets and clippings, and you can find some gems in there. You know, sometimes you'll find photographs that may show your house. There are also books. You know, we've got a lot of different history books in our collection. So if you're searching, you know, the town you live in, you might be able to find pictures of old houses there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Has genealogy always been an interest of yours? Or has it grown since you're...
To be honest, I think that I've become more interested in genealogy as I've lost older generations of family members. Mm. You know, when your great-grandparents are around, you know, it feels like, do you really need to go back further? And, 'cause they're already telling stories. And when they're not there to tell the stories, you wonder, like, wow, well, how did we come to be who we are? And that's when you start wondering. And that might have something to do with just, I was getting older and...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
How difficult is genealogy if you're, like, let's say you're not multi-generationally American?
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
It's a lot more difficult. There are resources available out there for researching outside of the U.S. So, for instance, my ancestors are from Italy and Poland, and there are record sets from a lot from Italy that I can access on FamilySearch, which is a free website online that you can use for genealogy research. And so you can look through images of actual handwritten records. And, you know, for something like Italian, that's easy for me to be able to go through and say, okay, so I'm looking for a certain name, I'm looking for a certain date. You know, I can look through these records and be able to identify it. Polish records, I don't even think they're all available necessarily through the same sources. And if they were, I can't read the letters. You know, I just can't read the language.
Yeah.
And so I'll probably need to, you know, hire a genealogist in Poland to be able to help me, you know, move past my brick walls.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah,
because I've always thought about that. You know, I'm also Italian. Yeah, I've always tried to look for records, and it's just like records from, you know, 19th century Sicily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not really going to be that reliable to find.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some countries have kept better records than others, so making it difficult or easy for you.
It's also the political histories of each place, you know, like who's been conquered when, who, you know, conquered. So, you know, it sort of goes back and forth.
Yeah. I have a kind of interesting story. So I had some information about my great-grandparents when they were married and the location that they were married in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And that came from one of my dad's cousins or aunts. And so when I found that FamilySearch had these records online, I was like, I am going to find this and I'm going to be able to, you know, maybe their parents' names will be on there and I'm going to find so much information. And I spent hours and hours and hours scrolling through these handwritten documents online and I could not find it. And after a while, I finally gave up because it just seemed not to be there. And not too long afterwards, I did the DNA ancestry testing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And connected with a fifth cousin who, you know, I'm so far removed, but he had done so much research.
Oh, wow.
In Italian records. And he contacted me saying, I have our mutual ancestors up to a certain point, but I really want to make a very complete tree. Can you supply me with all of your closer, you know, relatives, and, you know, you can have access to all the research I've done on my tree.
Wow.
And it turns out, you know, he had found the marriage records, and the town that they were married in, that the records were actually located in, was the next town over from the one that I had the name of. And I don't know if it's that the marriage took place in a different spot, or maybe the marriage license came from one and not the other, but I really lucked out in being able to actually, you know, find the answer. So sometimes there are a lot of challenges, but there are ways. There
it's
are
amazing
definitely ways to
who you're able or possibly able to connect with on those databases. Yeah. Have you done that, Jerry?
No.
No, not yet.
No. It's one of those things that just kind of weirds me out a little bit. I don't know. I don't want random family people calling me, you know?
Not at all curious?
No, I mean, yeah. I had a cousin who did a lot of genealogy work and sort of threw up the whole tree and had a bunch of stuff on there. It's also strange because I think at a certain point, like, you know, my great-great grandfather, I guess his brother died, so then he married the brother's wife, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, which was a thing.
Yeah.
So my family, like, sort of, like, double backs on itself at one point, you know? So I guess that explains it, right? So, yeah, so there's a lot of, like, weirdness like that way back when, so. But, yeah. So, what's something unexpected that you found doing local history research?
Well, there was one time when somebody asked me to help her find out what happened to her, I think it was a great-grandmother or a great-great-grandmother. She was born in the 1860s, and, you know, this woman knew that she had, that the great-great-grandmother had married the great-great-grandfather, but mm-hmm. after a certain point, there were no records, and she couldn't tell how she came from her maiden name to get to that, and it seems like there was nothing except the one record. It was a census record showing, you know, her, the two great-grandparents together, and then what happened to her. So I was looking through census records, and this woman was born in the 1860s, and from what I could tell, she had four husbands, and so every census she had a different last name.
Wow.
And I was able to piece them together because of the children. So she had a number of children over many years, but there was always at least one that was a holdover into the next census. And so you can use the first name, the date, to, and you know, their date of birth, to connect them, and it spanned different towns, decades, but yeah, that's what happened. She she had four different husbands, and that's why it was so hard to.
All these husbands.
They all were still alive.
Oh,
you know, at first I was like,
I would have thought she killed them all or something like that.
Yeah,
I would have thought, you know, Black Widow situation.
Yeah, the first one listed himself as a widower. In subsequent census.
Save face.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, wow. I found that one to be unexpected and very interesting.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tara, can you recall the most peculiar local history question asked of you?
Peculiar. I would say that's probably when somebody asked for me to look up the exact date that the World's Strongest Man event was held at the Playboy Club in Vernon in 1980. So, yeah, I got to look through a lot of newspaper articles for that. And
Virginia, you were there. That was
breakfast. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was a frequent guest at the Playboy Club.
They comped her dinners and whatever.
So that was in 1980. I wonder who won. I'm curious myself now.
Joey Chestnut. No, that's the guy who eats all the hot dogs. I don't know.
Yes,
yeah.
I know that. That one I know.
I probably have a scan of the article somewhere in my email. I can send it to you.
Yeah, I kind of want to know now.
And I wonder how they tested these feats of strength. I mean, were they just lifting things or...
Like a log throw or
a car.
Something.
Like that. There was a refrigerator move, and there was like an apparatus.
Well, I could do that.
You know, to help them like actually, you know, move it. You know, to but yeah,
like a hand truck,
one that
like
I
a dolly.
It was something like that.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound so
back,
difficult.
You know,
yeah.
I can picture them going like.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You ever see those guys move the trains? You know.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they. It's funny. Speaking of genealogy, you know, my cousin is Lou Ferrigno. So if we're talking about,
did I know that?
You might have known that. Yeah, we may
if
have
I did, I forgot
this.
About it.
Yeah,
and so, I love
World's Strongest
Man.
So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, the Hulk. It's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah,
oh, did I love that show growing
yeah.
up?
Yeah, dun 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 dun. Yeah. So, what would you say is like the most challenging part of your job, besides the
you know
podcast?
on a day to day basis? You know, when I'm answering genealogy questions, I'd probably say that the lack of the 1890 census is just a big thorn in my side.
Boy, if I had a nickel every time.
And remind
our listeners
so,
that.
The 1890 census, the federal census, was stored in a building that had a fire. And I don't remember if it was the 1920s or 30s. And they put the fire out with water, and all of the materials got moldy and water damaged.
Oh.
And they sat for a number of years, and a records manager made the decision to throw them out, that they were unsalvageable. And so now, if you're trying to make a connection between 1880 and 1900, there are some state census records, but all of that information that had been in the 1890 census is gone.
Yikes.
So that's you know, that's something that I'd probably say. But another real big thing, more like a more technical, is just combining the organization systems of both archives and libraries. And that's very unique to local history. And archives are organized in a much different way than libraries. Books and materials in libraries are cataloged on an individual basis, and archives are collections. And so trying to make a collection and all of the information that's inside of that collection findable and usable to researchers, using the systems that the library already has, that is probably one of my biggest challenges in my position, you know, in trying to build up the department and really make it as usable as possible for researchers.
Speaking as a cataloger, the most important thing about information is how to find it, you know, because if it's unfindable, then it's useless.
Well, you talked about history collections, local history collections here in the county. What are some of the special collections that we have?
Some of the most special collections that we have are collections of materials donated by local genealogists. We have a number of them. Local genealogist Alfred Purley, Francis Cron, Claire Pettinger, they all donated their records. And so the materials that they were going through when they were helping a client research a particular family name, those are all available. So if you have a connection to that family, you look up that family name, all of those materials are now available in those collections.
That's really great.
The Mayer collection, that's somebody who had a professional genealogist do research on her own family, and then she donated all of the research that she had professionally done.
Cool.
Yeah.
And are those collections all housed at the main library right
now?
Yes. Okay.
What about things people can access from home? I know we mentioned, what was it, Heritage Quest? That is available from home, right?
Yes, it is.
I know Ancestry is not anymore.
No. And for the longest time, it never was.
Right.
They made an exception during lockdowns and COVID. So Ancestry is no longer available from home. You can use it from the library. But Heritage Quest, if you want to look up census records, which a lot of people, that's a lot of what they use Ancestry for. That's a big thing with Heritage Quest, as well as various local history books that are digitized. Those are available on Heritage Quest.
Now, I know we at Dorothy Henry have a local history collection. Does every branch have one, or is it it's just specific branches? Like, I know obviously Maine has the largest one. Are you aware of any other branches that have them?
I believe that the branches do have books that relate to local history. I don't know if they're all, if they all have reference collections, but I know that local history books are available at all the branches.
They're not as specific.
Right.
I mean, I'm speaking from my own branch. They're very general local history books pertaining to...
But I'm saying if people just want to do, like, some really simple type research, like, hey, what did Vernon look like and, you know, whatever, I'm pretty sure we have some old Vernon books.
So one resource that I think is available, probably available at most of the branches, is History of Sussex County. Sometimes it's grouped together as Sussex and Warren Counties by James Snell. That was published in 1881. And so if you're looking for, you know, some old time history, that is a pretty comprehensive resource. That's one of the go-to books, and that's something that you could probably find at your local branch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have that.
Are there any exciting local history resources out there or on our way to our library soon?
Yeah, I am very excited about a collection that I am currently in the process of accessioning, you know, bringing into the library. And it is materials from Marion McEwen. So she had a long history in Sussex County, both with the Hampton Township Board of Education, and her husband's family owned McEwen's Restaurant on Culver Lake. And there are a lot of wonderful, wonderful materials in this collection that I can't wait to get out to the public. Hmm. There's a process for, you know, getting it to a point where it will be findable and usable, you know, in terms of, you know, getting everything, first of all, organized into like acid-free boxes and folders, and then creating a finding aid, mm-hmm. That, you know, that finding of information. So once we get that fully accessioned and then processed, I can't wait to get that out to the public.
Cool.
It's also a nice reminder for the listeners out there, the public out there, that yeah, if they have papers that mm-hmm. they think would be valuable for the library, keep us in mm-hmm. mind.
Yes.
If you're looking for a place to donate them to, do mm-hmm. not throw them out.
Yeah.
We'll exactly. look at them first.
Yes.
Right?
For sure.
If it's the World Book, though, from 1986, please don't bring it here. Please
not
get rid
the
of that.
Encyclopedia Britannica?
Yeah, I don't. Okay, yeah. That I can't use.
Skip that one, too.
Yeah, that
okay.
one I don't want.
Okay.
So where would you like to see the department in, let's say, 5 years?
I would really, really like to see the materials be more fully findable than they are now. There are some wonderful indexes that previous staff have created, but I really want to be able to have references for, you know, if there's something in the, if you're looking up a church file or a cemetery file, and there's also a book on the shelf about it, you know, I don't want a researcher to miss that book on the shelf. So I want to be able to create the structures for the easiest findability hmm. and usability mm-hmm. of the collections in the department.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And are you in the process of digitizing various items, or
that
what's the
is
status
on
of
the
that?
Horizon? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting to find out about funding for digital storage space. So I've, you know, researched different companies that offer digital storage space, and just waiting to find out when we can get that set up. And once we have the storage space, then we'll be able to begin digitizing materials that we have. And I have a plan for materials that will go into a digital collection, including a postcard collection that someone had done years ago. There was a effort to photograph postcards, you know, collect and photograph postcards from members of the community, and they were turned into slides. And so what we have are the slides.
Wow.
And so we can digitize those slides, and then it's like having a photograph of those. Of
that's
those
very
images.
Exciting.
And yeah, I would love to get that going.
Do you get a lot of questions about yearbooks?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We have a lot of yearbooks, although they're not comprehensive. So we don't have every yearbook from every high school in Sussex County. But if you're looking for information about yearbooks, or you know, you're looking for a certain year, please give us a call and we'll look it up for you and see if we have it.
Or if you have some extra old
yes,
yearbooks,
donate.
Hanging around,
please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Remember the library.
Yes.
Never know.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite things when I worked as a page,
yeah.
going into like the local
mm-hmm.
history room and just yeah. flipping through the yearbooks, because
yeah.
it was so cool to see the aerial photos of the high school, and like, you know, the high school and there's nothing around it,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, over the time you see the houses being built closer and closer. It's just
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was fun.
Yeah.
Did you have any other questions, or?
I did not have any questions. Anything else to add, Tara, that you would like our patrons to know about local history here at Sussex County? It's exciting. I think the future holds a lot of promise.
Mm-hmm.
Once
again, you never know about the history of the area until you start looking. You know, you find there's a lot of things to be uncovered.
No, I don't have anything else to add. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to Tara Schauberg for joining us today. I hope you learned a lot about local history and what's available to all of you here at Sussex County Library.
Yeah, it was a fun interview.
It was.
Yeah.
Very, very edifying, I would say.
Yeah. If you'd like to email us, it's librarylines@sussexcountylibrary.org, But otherwise, we will just see you guys next time.